Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. Good afternoon. My name is Jeff Zielinski, the host of the Fun to Fortune Entrepreneur Startup Success here on Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to another fun-filled broadcast here on the Life Coach Radio Network. Our focus every other Tuesday at noon is entrepreneurism. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about startup fears and also interview Anthony Cerrone of the infamous Lilac Chocolates. Our show is about fun, fortune, how we benefit from coaching, and also about how we get resources to help us continue on our journey starting a successful, fun entrepreneurial venture. The key being fun here and following your passion. I'm inspired by people I meet who are doing wonderful, very cool things. They're following their passion, they're having fun, and they're creating wealth and abundance for themselves and for others. This is great work. Here they share their business, their inspiration, their roadblocks, and their obstacles. One of my inspirations, which I mention every week on this show, is the quote, the master of living quote. The master in the art of living makes little distinction between his work and play, his labor and leisure, his mind and body, his information and his recreation. He hardly knows which is which. He simply pursues his vision of excellence at whatever he does, leaving others to decide whether he is working or playing. To him, he's always doing both. Just think about that. Statistics say that 80% of the people in the workforce are unhappy in their jobs. Can you imagine loving your work so much that you don't distinguish between work and play? I remember seeing some people when I first worked on Wall Street in 1990. A good friend of mine, he became, and he was so into his job. He worked on the capital markets desk. And this guy lived and breathed, you know, analytics and numbers and trading and complex equity swap strategies. And I always admired this. I was like, wow, you love this shit. I mean, he was laughing and having a blast, and it was like his setting. And ever since then, it's been a quest for me and my clients to really, as I like to say, find their fun to fortune. So this is what we'll be talking about today, and we'll be talking to Anthony Cerrone from Lilac Chocolates, who will also be sharing his passion. If you have questions or comments about being an entrepreneur, want to call in, our call-in number is 646-716-9397. Again, 646-716-9397. I'd love to have someone give us a buzz, ask us a question. You can like us on Facebook at Life Coach Radio Network, and you can tweet at us. Our handle is Coach Post Radio. So today we're going to talk about some of the things that are not so popular. A lot of times we're talking about inspiration, but the bottom line is that a lot of things get in the way of starting a business, and sometimes it's just getting the idea off the ground. I've had a few clients and friends who, as soon as someone doesn't love their idea or sort of poo-poos it, that's it. They're done, you know, and getting them back on the road again is a challenge. So that's something. Then starting the business, wow, all the things that come your way. Anthony, I'm sure, will share the new startup taking over a business, some of the obstacles he has faced. And I'll share some of the obstacles that I've faced. But it's a continual sort of battle with your gremlin, with your, wow, wasn't it just easier when I was sitting at a desk getting paid for this, getting a paycheck. But I'm going to answer some today, right now actually, some of the common startup fears and how to manage them. So let's take the plunge and assume you have decided to create your own thing. You've thought about being your own boss for years, and now you report to yourself you have a vision and you're living your dream. You're on your way, but now it's time to learn how to get out of your own way. As you read through all the startup books, go to seminars, workshops, meetings, watch online videos, many times you're working by yourself and you feel very isolated. Overwhelm and confusion and self-doubt finds its way in. The more you dive into this process and begin this process, you start saying stuff like this. Tell me if this sounds familiar. I'm not sure enough people will be interested in buying my product or my service. Am I going to have enough money to live on? Where am I going to find the time? My life is already super busy and full. Really, I have no idea how to start a business. What am I thinking? So if those sound familiar, it's really not actually about the products or the selling or the money or the time. What really lurks below the surface is that dirty four-letter word, fear, F-E-A-R. Did I spell that right? Yes. Okay. So how do you bust through this fear? Today I'm going to share with you a few simple ways. You start, number one, by recognizing what's going on, thinking about the thoughts that come up, not analyzing them, not jumping into, and work on a different perspective. That's what coaches are great at. Let's look at some different perspectives. I love perspective work. If you think of looking at a statue or a sculpture, and when you look at it all different ways, different things appear to you. So why not look at things on your business that way as well? Work on changing your attitude. A little spice of someone loving what you do or your cheerleading friend or colleagues goes a long way. And your outlook. So be success-oriented, be practical, have a plan and goals, and adjust your attitude about failure. Number one, be success-oriented and optimistic. Okay, it's true. Understand that the odds are against you. Looking at the statistics for new business success, but you must believe that you will beat the odds. You must believe that you can do this. How do you do that? You really have to be steeped in your vision of your business. You have to love what you're doing, and it has to be something that's from the heart. You have to have some level of optimism in you that may sometimes even be irrational. How do you get that? A couple ways to suggest. Look at some of the people who have started companies. They are not some special breed. Other people do this all the time. Use the, hey, if they could do it, I could do it too. Remember that, yeah, if they could do it, I could do it too. There's no rock stars. These are people just passionate and work tirelessly for something they love. So if they could do it, you can do it too. If self-doubt has a bigger hold on you, go through what we like to do in coaching, a few strengths analysis. Do a 360 evaluation on yourself. The feedback you will get from a strengths analysis will ground you. From this, you'll find that you have all the characteristics and personality strengths that make you right for entrepreneurship. Some of these are even free. You can do them online. One of them is that I love is the VIA Strengths Analysis out of the University of Pennsylvania's Happiness Program. Number two, be practical. Match your means to your dream. Weigh the benefits versus the risks and responsibilities. For me personally, the timing was right to start a business. I don't have kids, I don't have a mortgage, I don't have any debt. I was changing careers and I was ready to start my own gig. Really look at your fear about losing all your money and things and realize that it's just a fear. There are many practical ways to protect yourself and minimize your risks. Do a budget, do a plan. Figure out how you can get no-interest loans. Put some money aside for living expenses. Adjust your plan if needed, and don't be embarrassed by it or think you're a failure. Part of being a great entrepreneur is being nimble. Think differently, start slow, and build if time, finances, or something is getting in your way. I used to think it took thousands and thousands of dollars to get a business started. And then I figured out in 2008 how to start my first company, Broadway Bodies, with my partner, Stephen Brodbeck, for under $1,500. With the internet, online, ability to reach people through Facebook, marketing expenses can be limited. You don't have to go and rent or buy a shop. There's plenty of places to rent until you get steeped enough in your business to put up your own shingle or be under your own shingle. Number three, the dreaded business plan. Oh, gosh, it's love-hate with these. I'm not a big fan of business plans, and except that they really ground you and they give you guidance and they give you a direction. They're great for many things, but they scare the bejesus out of you, and many times they feel like they are planned for why not to start a business. To be perfectly honest, before starting Broadway Bodies, I did not do a business plan. Broadway Bodies is a fun workout company, fun way to work out. It's a dance school, if you will. If I had looked at all the different dance schools in New York and what they were doing, I would say, why do we even need this? Someone else is offering the same thing. But it is important to make a plan that serves you and fosters your idea. Plus, if you're going to be going for any funding in the future, business plan is an essential tool. If you don't like writing business plans or you can't do a business plan, hire a coach. Oh, I happen to do business plans or help you. One page, very simple, two pages max. Or hire a professional business plan writer, but get something on paper so you can really ground yourself in reality. I really recommend there's a school out of Kauffman, the Kauffman Institute here in New York, that offers complimentary startup entrepreneur training. You just have to apply for it, and it's wonderful. And there's a whole section on doing a business plan in that. It's like an 8-week, it's called Fast Track, and it's held up in Midtown. I highly recommend that for any new entrepreneur or any sort of mid-level entrepreneur. Goals. Start by writing down your goals. I use a proven goal-setting system that is interactive and ensures that you have set goals that really matter and you resonate when you talk about them. It's called the SMART goaling system. You add that to accountability, and you have an ironclad plan. Make sure in your plan you're always keeping the reason why you're starting business close at hand. You will need that every time you get discouraged or something knocks you off course. So know, why am I doing this? What's important about what I'm doing? Next step, educate yourself and get professional support every step of the way. Change your attitude towards failure. Really dive into the fear of failure and talk it out. When I was in coaching school, we did something really interesting, and I will never forget it. But one of the things we do with clients is to not just skip over the fear, but let's turn this fear into something that is tangible, if you will. So one of the exercises that I did that was really, really useful, and this is really about facing your fear, is I imagine that the fear was behind this door, and the door for me was a steel, cold door, and yet there was something really inviting about it. And I won't go into the details, but basically we went through that door. You know, we got to a level where it was really scary. So you take your fear and you talk about it, and you go through it, and you realize afterwards, you go through it, wow, that wasn't so bad. It's like the fear of going on like a crazy roller coaster, like Kingda Ka at Six Flags. You watch it, you see it. You see it like lying. You see people scream, but at the end they're laughing their asses off and hyperventilating at the same time. And they're like, yeah, I can do this. So really going into your fear and going through it is so important when you're starting a business. Some of the fears, many entrepreneurs get stuck in the fear of failure. Here's what it sounds like. What if this doesn't work out? Not only maybe do you think you're a loser, but you're also, there's also a huge blow to your ego. And then what about others, when they're, what they're going to say about you? And then there's that fear of losing a lot of money in this whole thing. Most of these things won't happen if you plan and you do your homework and you get help all along the way. Use your skill of resourcefulness. My point is that the fear of failure can be uncomfortable and unpleasant. So be okay with it, face it, go into it, and do your best. Failure is always an opportunity of one kind or another. Let me say that again. Failure is always an opportunity of one kind or another. It's an opportunity for you to stretch beyond your usual boundaries, to learn something valuable, or to make previously undreamed of connections. So when something does fail, see if it's a sign. See if there's something that there to learn from, okay? Don't just sort of skip over it and get all dejected. There's always a learning in that. Failure, F-A-I-L, fail, I've heard to say, means from all I learn. Building a business is like a work in progress. There's a lot of mini failures all the time. So as long as you are hyper aware, see what works, what doesn't, and adjust and be flexible. You will fail your way all the way to fortune. Remembering this positive face of failure and focus on it will go a long way towards changing your attitude. So that is just the tip of the iceberg. The important thing is, through the process, get plenty of support to help you ensure that you are successful. Dive in, keep diving, even if you're afraid. I'll just recap what we said about some of the fears that you go through and how to bust through the fears. Remember, be success-oriented and optimistic. Look at other people. If other people can do it, you can do it too. Understand that the odds are against you, but you must believe that you will beat the odds. Number two, be practical. Match your means to your dreams. Weigh the benefits versus the risks and responsibilities. Have a business plan. Write down your goals. And change your attitude toward failure. As I mentioned, really dive into the fear, face the fear of failure and talk it out. And remember that fail is from all I learn. So it's always an opportunity of one kind or another. So good luck in your venture and enjoy the most thrilling ride of your life. Before we move on to our guest, I just want to remind you, if you have a, if you'd like to call in and join us today, if you have any questions or comments about being or wanting to be an entrepreneur, call-in number is 646-716-9397. You can tweet at us. Our handle is Coach Host Radio. We're also on Facebook at Life Coach Radio Network. My name is Jeff Belinsky, and I'm the host of the Fun to Fortune Entrepreneur Startup Success Show. We're here every Tuesday at noon, every other Tuesday at noon, for the foreseeable future. As I mentioned, today we have with us Anthony Cerrone of Lilac Chocolates, who I'll make his microphone live in a minute. But let me just tell you what's coming up on Blog Talk Radio. Well, actually, I'm going to tell you that later because I don't have that right on my screen, so I can't really tell you. Oh, here we go. Mark my words with life and business coach Mark Shaw. Then we have Get a Job with Kathleen Brady tomorrow, Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. She's going to talk about online application systems, which you all know are the greatest source of frustration. On Thursday at 8 p.m., we have Me Optimized with style coach Tiffany Dixon. Discover style secrets of the LGBT community. The right to create your own personal style is awfully often closely connected to your ability to fully live your truth. Oh, that sounds like a good one. And then Friday at noon, developing healthy relationships with coaches Barbara Hetzel, Dexter Cicero, and Tom Billiter as they discuss what it takes to create healthy, intimate relationships. Also, don't forget, you can find our past episodes of Fun to Fortune with Coach Jeff, where we interviewed Bern Harrison of StageBuzz.com, Let's Play Dog, company by Matthew Carente, and David Kiefer of Dance Connection, among some of our other guests, including Jim Arnoff, who is an entertainment lawyer, coach, and entertainment agent. And he is the master of, as I would say, multipreneurism. I'm going to make Anthony Cerrone's microphone live and welcome Anthony to our show. If you can hold on a second. Hello, Anthony.
Hello, Jeff. Thank you for having me.
Welcome to Fun to Fortune Success. I don't remember the name of this. It's such a tongue tease. Fun to Fortune Entrepreneur Startup Success Show. So Anthony and I know each other for a long time, going all the way back to graduate school at NYU Stern, where I actually believe we did a marketing project together, or maybe we're just in the same class, on that skincare line, the green one. Do you remember?
It was the British company. The name eludes me. Anita Roderick's company.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Well,
yeah.
We used to all buy their products. Now I don't know. Anyway, that was a long time ago, and Anthony has had an incredibly successful career in marketing and the health and beauty product area, and now is the owner of a fantastic chocolatier business or chocolate company that has an amazing legacy in New York and across the country. And Anthony, tell us about your business, when you bought it, because I know it's fairly recent, and we'll start from there.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Jeff. It's Lilac Chocolates. It's actually Manhattan's oldest chocolate company. It was established in 1923, and the company specializes in really all old-school chocolates. So we make over 140 fresh chocolate items that you'd find in our counter. We have hundreds, maybe even 1,000, of specialty chocolate molds. We have lots of holiday items that we bring in, and we have wedding chocolates and business gifts. So it's a real old-school chocolate company. And I was lucky enough to acquire it at the end of 2011, so I've got it now just about, just coming up on 2 years.
Oh, wow. So we're going to have a lot of good things to talk about. The first 2 years are always quite challenging, and one of our themes today is startup fears and just busting through all the things that come up when you start a business. But before we get into that stuff, and I just want to, so I don't forget this, how do people find you? So you can give us your URL and also your address in New York so people can come by and have a taste of some of those delicious old-world chocolates.
Yeah, certainly. Our URL is lilacchocolates.com. It's L-I-L-A-C chocolates, all one word. And we have two stores in Manhattan. Our West Village store is our flagship store. It's on 8th Avenue and Jane Street, right in the corner. And we have a second store in Grand Central. It's inside the marketplace. And we also have a factory in Brooklyn. And it serves as a walk-in place as well. It's not really a retail location, but people do come in there. And we sell chocolate from that location as well.
And that's where I envision you on the Lucille Ball like chocolate line, you know, like all the chocolate coming down, sampling. Oh, this one's good.
That's
this
right.
One's good.
We have that. We have those exact machines, and we do exactly what you see in that Lucille episode.
I love it. So I expect to see a little skit with you then.
Absolutely.
So, Anthony, I think I think you said it in your intro, but what is your tagline or one sentence description? I know it's something to do with old world chocolates, but what do you guys, what's your marketing tagline?
The tagline we use is stubbornly old fashioned since 1923. The inspiration for that came out of an article that was written by the Wall Street Journal, where they called us stubbornly old fashioned. And we scratched our heads about that, and we said, what do we think about that? And we all, like, spontaneously said, we like that. So we turned that into the tagline that we've been using ever since.
I love it. And I think that says a lot about a business. There's something that people crave today about an old-fashioned anything. Like, an old-fashioned, the first thing that comes to mind for me is, like, an old-fashioned ice cream parlor. You know, those ones you walk in black and white and steel, and there's something so nostalgic and delicious about it. So stubbornly old-fashioned has a really great appeal. Everyone today is trying to, like, you know, make something, you know, I'm just envisioning, like, stacked food, you know, like where you just stack chocolates on top of each other and you make it bigger and like a giant big gulp of chocolates. And that's not what people want. They just want good quality, good candy, you know. So I love that.
Yeah.
Great. So,
great, thank you.
What's the fun part for you in your business? Where do you get the most joy and satisfaction in the 2 years you've been running and operating this? Besides tasting the chocolates.
Besides the obvious. I would have to say, personally, what I find the fun part is actually the variety, which may sound strange, but I actually love being an owner of the business and actually dipping my finger in all the different pieces of it. So whether it's working in the retail store one day or working in the factory making chocolate another day or, you know, doing something creative with an advertising campaign that we want to launch in the future, I really love the variety. You never get bored. There's always, you know, something, you know, that's an aspect of the business that needs attention. And I love dipping back and forth between those aspects. That's what I personally get the most satisfaction out of.
That's great. And a lot of entrepreneurs wear many hats. So, and some people love wearing all the hats. You and I, you know, are one of those people. And then some people don't love it. But variety keeps you going. Like you said, you have all your hands in the batter, so to speak. And, constantly keeping yourself not even occupied, but really enjoying the creative process, I guess.
You know, if you're a business owner, you really have to like all the different aspects because, you know, especially in small businesses, there's often not someone else in the business to do that. So if you only like, for example, you know, the long-term vision part of the business and you sort of neglect the day-to-day, you know, you're going to have trouble. And likewise, if you only enjoy sort of the day-to-day part and you're not thinking about the future, you're going to run into trouble. So you sort of have to be the personality, you know, that likes, you know, to dip back and forth. Because when you're a small business, you don't have all the resources of a big business. Often it's only you. And those, you know, all those things have to get attention in order to keep the business, you know, alive and moving forward.
What's been your, and I'm throwing this question out at you, I didn't prep you with it, but what's sort of been your biggest, like, aha, like, fun surprise, maybe with a product, because I know you've been really creative with some of the products and molds that you created for the LGBT community and things like that, or has it been, like, a really fun sort of surprise that's come out over the last 2 years, something you initiated or launched, and like, wow, that was a really fun thing to do, and it was successful?
Well, I don't know if this answers your question exactly, but the biggest sort of welcoming surprise was just how we're received by our customers, especially after we do events. We try to do a lot of community events where we can, and often we get such heartfelt response from people who may contact us or who may stop in the store, and it's really this feeling of being part of the community and really being appreciated for what we do within the community is something that always, I mean, I never know what to say. It's like, wow, well, you're welcome. But it's like, you know, for me, it's sort of like, but it's just part of our business. This is what any good business would do. But, you know, people really see it as going above and beyond, I think. And, you know, I'm always taken back when people comment on, you know, the things that they see us doing in the community.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I think it is really appreciated, and I guess the surprise is that a lot of business owners don't do it, and you're out there not only giving people something delicious, but also really, you know, participating in the events, and so I can see where that goes a long way for the business.
And it's also fun for us. I mean, we really enjoy it. Yeah.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I've participated in many events, not to the extent you guys do, but, yeah, it's great. I mean, it's just great to be part of those. And my personal thing is going to a lot of events, whether they're charity events or street events or whatever they are, they get boring, but if you participate in a way where you're one of the sponsors or vendors or contributors there, it just makes it so much more enriching. You have so much more connection to the people who are running it and also to the people who are attending.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Well, I'm going to come back to what's been your fortune, which you already sort of answered, but we'll come back to that and approach it from another side. So one of the things that I think let me just make sure that the callers, the listeners, have our call-in number. People may want to ask you a question. Or if you're listening to a recording of this, you can always reach Anthony. You have a Facebook page, I'm fairly certain, yes. Lilac Chocolates,
yeah.
Is that what it's called? So you can also
post a
question on Facebook. But if you would like to call in, our phone number is 646-716-9397. This is Life Coach Radio Network, and we're on the line today with Anthony Cerrone and Jeff Volinsky. Okay. Where were we? What were we talking about? Oh, yes. So one of the things that entrepreneurs and listeners may be wondering is, like, what resources did you get or have or continue to get before you got the business started? And then maybe during the business, I know that Anthony and I worked together years ago, like when I was first in coaching school, when he was still working at maybe Unilever, or I'm not sure where you're at then. Sort of dipping your toes in the idea of buying a business, a turnaround business, and here you are today, you know, turning it all around. So what are some of the resources?
Yeah.
Beyond a coach or with a coach or other things that you've used and you would recommend for other entrepreneurs to, like, help them, you know, keep you know, getting the support and knowledge they need to build a successful business?
Right. Well, you know, if you're looking to buy a business, I mean, first and foremost, you need legal and financial advice, and that's super important, and you shouldn't underestimate the value you get out of those, you know, those two areas. But, you know, beyond that, sort of what I did is I sort of went out to business associates and friends who had started their business or, you know, who had some experience that I wanted to get, you know, information from. And so I went out to sort of as many people as I knew or, you know, I could find, and I just sort of got their perspective. And, you know, what I find through this whole process is that, you know, every time you talk to someone, you glean a little insight that sort of helps, you know, either confirm what you're thinking or, you know, pull you in a different direction. And sort of that process of getting that, you know, from multiple people, you know, helps, you know, build confidence in what you're doing or helps, you know, push you in a slightly different direction. And so that sort of was my approach, is to try to talk to as many people as I could. You know, often with some sort of specific expertise or something that's relevant to what I was looking at, and get their advice.
Great. So for you, a lot of it was going out and talking to people, getting their experience. What did you have to filter out? Because there's a lot of people out there who are, you know, Debbie Downers and doomsdayers, and, you know, so how did you filter things so that you can use the information in a productive way and not a way that would trigger fears or hesitations?
Yeah, actually, that's a good point, actually. And I didn't get too much of that, to be honest with you. Most people were encouraging, And most of the advice that I got was sort of practical stuff, like, you know, be aware of this and be aware of that. But I didn't get too much downer stuff. But I guess in the instances where I did, you know, I would always just try to put it in perspective of where they were coming from. I mean, why were they giving me that advice? And, you know, what was it based on? It's often based on someone's personal experience. And then I sort of go through my own filter and like, well, am I in that situation? And is it likely that that will be my experience or not?
Really practical way and logical way of, you know, looking at it. And it's also, it sounds like, I mean, you had such confidence and like you wanted to do it as well. So, when I had talked about some of the fears, you know, you probably know that the odds are against you, but you also know that you can beat the odds, and that sort of keeps you going. And that's really what most entrepreneurs have to take as a mindset. It's like, I can beat these odds because I'm smart enough, I'm resourceful enough, I'm savvy enough, and, you know, I love what I do, you know, so cool. Let's go into a little bit of the sort of darker side, if you will, because I did preface this call with, you know, the fears that come up, because we always talk about all the, yeah, oh my God, this is great, it's great, it's great. And then, you know, I remember sitting in my office, very isolated, working, you know, just in front of my computer. I'm like, oh God, you know, and then I'm, you know, so as you sort of set off to this venture, whether it was sort of deciding to buy the company and start anew, or even in the last 2 years, which are also some of the hardest years, the first 2 years of taking over an operation and getting it up and running the way you want, what were some of the fears that came up for you, and how did you overcome them, and what would you advise listeners that are on the fence?
Sure. So, you know, a couple things I'd say. You know, one is that the thing that I always try to do is I try to picture myself in the situation, I try to imagine myself in the business, and I sort of imagine myself running it. And then that leads me to sort of think, how would I feel if I was doing it, and how confident would I be, you know, and where would I be in areas where I've never done before, you know, and then what would I do? And that's in that situation, you know. And so that whole sort of process of kind of imagining myself in all the different aspects of the business is a great way to sort of help, you know, figure out, I guess, where the fears lie, you know, because there's certain parts of the business. The reason that you want a business is because you're excited about certain parts and you're confident, you know, you're going to do well in those. So maybe there's other aspects of the business that you haven't done before and you don't know how they would be done, you know. So that's often where the fears lie. And, you know, I just try to get some more learning in those areas.
Are you saying that, like, you visualize yourself sort of confronting what comes up and handling them in a great way? Is that, like, I just want to, like, so how could a listener adopt that practice? Like, is it a visualization? Is it just sort of what do you actually do, if that makes sense?
You know, it's sort of as simple as sort of thinking, if I owned the business tomorrow, what would I do? I'd get up, and what would I do? I'd go where, and what would I, you know?
Right.
I'd literally sort
of
take myself
through the day.
And not only through the day, but through the week, through the month, you know what I mean? And I would start imagining, you know, well, how would I deal with this situation? Or, you know, some people may be not so good at finance, and so how would I do the books? I don't know how to do the books, you know? Or someone might not be good with, you know, IT, you know, or how would I get a website up, you know? So whatever it is that you don't have experience in, it's sort of natural to question yourself, like, would I know how to do it, and, you know, would I get it done? And by identifying those areas.
Yeah, I was just going to say, so almost like a business plan, if you will, it addresses sort of all these what-if questions so that you have a solution so that when you're in business and something does happen – or you've already planned for it, or you have sort of a place to go. Oh yeah, I knew this was going to come up, and here's what I can do to do it. So it's you're such a good Boy Scout.
the other thing that you know that gives confidence is thinking back in your past situation. So I'd do that too. I'd go, oh, I remember when I was in this situation at my old job. And when I was presented with this, I had absolutely no idea, you know, how I was going to approach it, you know. And then suddenly I worked my way through it. So I think, well, what did I do to get myself through that, you know? And that gives me confidence that I'd find solutions for other things I hadn't seen.
Gotcha. Oh, cool. Okay. Any other fears that came up or come up or things, hesitations that you would share with the listeners?
You know, I'd say the only other thing is when you're going to start a new business, it's a big life change. And so in addition to running a successful business, you know, you may have a fear of, well, I enjoy doing this, and will this be the lifestyle that I want? You know, a lot of cases, it's a very different lifestyle than what you're doing before, you know, and certainly something I thought of, you know, moving away from a corporate job where, you know, I had a certain, you know, way of life to running my own business where, you know, you're really on 24/7 and it's your business, and whenever there's an issue, you're the one who has to deal with it. And so that has implications on, you know, your lifestyle and things like that. So, you know, that was the other aspect that I was thinking about as well, is what I, you know, if I make this move, is it the lifestyle that I want to have for the next so many years?
Right. And how have you been able to sort of find balance or reconcile that?
Well, so I put in structure within the business. So I have, you know, I have sort of managers, and I empower them and give them certain responsibilities so that I don't have to handle, you know, every issue. And we're lucky enough to have, you know, a good staff of people that are, you know, good and reliable. So, you know, I really approach it like a regular business where, you know, people have responsibilities and they're empowered to make decisions. So, that's sort of part of it, especially when you're sort of running the day to day and there's a thousand things that come up, and you don't want to be the only person who can navigate through that. You want to have people in your company who can do that for you.
Cool. All right, great. That's great help. So we talked a little bit about, this is the Fun to Fortune show, so you've successfully convinced us that you're having a good time and you're liking your business and you're having fun out there, being the stubbornly old-fashioned chocolatier at such a young age. So, what has been your fortune? Like, what's come from your efforts, the fruits of your labor? Besides, you had mentioned earlier about some of the great community stuff you're doing and the appreciation, the heartfelt responses you're receiving. What else has been your fortune?
Well, from the business perspective, I mean, we've made some initiatives and they've all been successful. So that's super encouraging, especially when the business is new. We launched a new website. We launched some new packaging. We brought some new lines into the shop. And everything that we've done has been successful. And so that, you know, like I said, that gives you a lot of encouragement to move forward. But sort of beyond the specific kind of product-related stuff, the biggest fortune for me has sort of been the satisfaction, you know, of having my own business and everything that comes with that. So the satisfaction of accomplishment, but also the idea that I'm in a business that I enjoy doing, that I look forward to every day when I get up. I look forward to what I'm going to do. And then also the freedom to sort of drive the business where I want to drive it. So now I can bring in my vision, you know, without a committee and the politics involved in other, you know, corporate jobs. That, you know, if I want to take the business in an area, you know, there's not too much stopping me from doing that. And, you know, that's a great part of the satisfaction that comes with owning your own business.
Yeah. And I mentioned earlier on in the show, it was just on the news last week, I mean, but it's pretty prevalent that, you know, over 80% of people who work out there are unhappy with their jobs or their careers. And just, like you said, being able, like, to do what you want to do, to create your own schedule, to take the business where you want it. I mean, that's amazing, you know, and just see the fruits of your labor. And you mentioned a lot of your initiatives have worked out really well. So it's like, ooh, I want to do more of this. I want to keep expanding. So, you know, clearly the ship is sailing. And that is, you know, wonderful to see. So I don't know. I was wondering what anything you could share, like what's next in terms of like what you're doing at Lilac Chocolates. Is there a holiday coming up you're getting ready for, or a new? Well, maybe we should talk about this a little bit, because with DOMA being overturned and so many more LGBT people getting married, and I know you guys have chocolates, like chocolate grooms and chocolate brides and things like that. Are you doing any sort of marketing initiatives or new products or new molds, I should say, for that effort?
Yeah.
And what are you guys doing on that?
Definitely. That is something that's on our radar, and we've made a little progress on that, but honestly, we have a lot more to do, and it's something that's been a little bit on our back burner as we've been working on some other projects, but the wedding market is just obviously a huge market for the chocolate business. That goes without saying. And then particularly with everything that's happening with the gay market, I mean, for us, that's just an extra opportunity. One of the first things that we did was we commissioned a 2-foot-tall chocolate groom and groom. We like to say it's the world's first chocolate couple, same-sex couple. And we've mostly used that for PR, and we brought that to events, and we've made, we use that to basically make a statement that we're committed to the cause. And then occasionally we sell a couple of those. So that's been a great sort of piece to sort of get, to get us noticed and to let people know that we support that the space. And what I still need to do is develop the whole product line that should go with that. So we have a few items, but there's a lot more wedding stuff that we want to have, and it'll probably be till next spring before we get that part of the business, fully fleshed out. But there's a lot of ideas that we have that we'll be hopefully launching over the next 12 months or so.
Wonderful, wonderful. I look forward to it. So I'll let you go. I know you have a busy day to run. I appreciate you coming on and sharing your insights. But any last words to inspire or anything for some of the entrepreneurs who are looking, who may have been where you were a couple of years ago? What was your piece of advice be for them?
I would say, if you feel the calling, then, there's something real behind it. Not everybody feels the calling to go into their own business or be an entrepreneur. And so if you feel it, you have to trust your gut that there's something real there. At the same time, you don't want to jump into something too rashly. Take your time, do it at your own pace. Make sure you're comfortable with what you're doing. Get the advice and the expertise that you need. I would say that, it's not always risky. Everybody talks about how risky it is, but in a lot of ways, I didn't feel this was a risky move for me to do. And part of the reason I didn't feel that it was risky is because I took my time. Jeff, you know how long I was looking for the right business before
yes.
I made the move. I mean, literally, it was like 5 years. You were wondering if I was ever going to do anything, I'm sure. But, that was the process that I needed to go through. And I found I didn't jump at any business, and I turned down a lot of opportunities that I didn't feel were right. And then when the right one came along, I felt it and I knew it, and therefore I didn't think it was that risky to do. So that's sort of the advice
that
I would
perfect.
Give.
That's perfect. The message really is listen to your calling, number one, and be patient with yourself. That's funny you mentioned that, Anthony. I always question that with a lot of my clients, like, they're never going to do anything, but took me years and years. In fact, it took me really when I hired a coach who challenged me and said, okay, Jeff, stop talking about it. Do it. So it does take a long time, but sometimes it's just the right thing needs to come along or the right timing, and the timing is always perfect no matter what it is. So listen to your gut, listen to your calling, and also be patient. All right, Anthony, I want to thank you so much. And before I let you go, I want you to share one more time with our listeners how they can find you, where they can find you, online, offline, and tell them.
Absolutely. Again, the easiest way to find us is through our website. It's lilacchocolates.com, LILAC, and then the word chocolates. You can also call us at 212-924-2280. Or visit one of our stores in the West Village on 8th Avenue and Jane Street, or in Grand Central in the Marketplace.
All right. Thank you, Anthony, for being with us today and sharing all of your insights. There will be I'll go into that. If you want to hear the repeat of this or whatever it's called, just go to Life Coach Radio Network and look for the July 9th episode of Fun to Fortune, Entrepreneur, Startup Success. Anthony, thank you so much for being with us today. Look forward to hearing about more success in your business, and have a good one.
Great. Thank you, Jeff. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Okay. Cheers. Bye-bye. And you're still on the line with Jeff Walensky of Life Coach Radio Network. What an interesting journey Anthony has been on. Thrilling to hear him share that owning a business. So he took a business and basically is turning it around, called Lilac Chocolate. So he's been in business years and years. Stubbornly old-fashioned is their tagline. So we are Life Coach Radio Network. Let me share with you some of the upcoming episodes. We have Get a Job with Kathleen Brady, and that is tomorrow night. I think it's at 7 or 8 p.m. I don't have it right in front of me. I'm so sorry. The screen went off, so thanks for holding there. We also have something with Tiffany coming up, and that is Me Optimize, Thursday at 8 p.m. She's going to talk about style secrets. And then Friday, we have Life Coach Chat with Barbara Hetzel, Dexter Cicero, and Tim Billiter, talking about healthy, intimate relationships. So you can find us at Blog Talk Radio, Life Coach Radio Network. You can also find us on Facebook at Life Coach Radio Network, and you can tweet at us. Our handle is Coach Host Radio. My name is Jeff Walensky, and I'm the host of the Fun to Fortune Entrepreneur Startup Success radio series every other Tuesday at noon for the foreseeable future. Each week, we talk to an entrepreneur who inspires, tells us their story, tells us what to watch out for, and blazes a trail so that we too may continue to be successful in our startup. My motto is always the master of living, and the master of the art of living makes little distinction between his work and play, his labor, his leisure. And if you can create work that you love and have fun and be abundant, in my book, you have created a very, very successful life for yourself. I'm Jeff Walensky. You can reach me at www.jeff.com or at www.javelin.com, javelin.com. I am the creator of Broadway Bodies, The Fun Way to Work Out. I am the creator of Javelin.com, our coaching enterprise. I'm the creator of In the Company of Men, Taking Your Life from Functional to Optimal. And I'm also the creator of MMX Beachbodyworks.info. So please join us in 2 weeks for our next episode of Fun to Fortune, Entrepreneur, Startup Success. We wish you a great day and happy trailblazing. Thank you so much.